Starbane's audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Well, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
I don't want to bend over to turn on again. I didn't want to bend over to press record, so I just started.
Oh, okay.
You know how I do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, relocation.
I hear you, dude.
You're just going through your pockets?
Got all kinds of shit in
your pockets. That's true. I didn't tell you we were starting.
Yeah, it's all right.
And you were cleaning out receipts.
Yeah, I'm all right, man.
What's the last thing you bought? What'd you get?
Jack Daniels.
Well, that's why I just saw you buy that, so that's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do a sound check on air.
Check.
Oh, God.
Check. Now batting center fielder, Kyle.
How often is that fun for you?
It's fun for me, man.
Cheers, buddy.
Childhood memories.
Cheers.
There we go. You just doing a bunch of tequila?
Yeah, tequila and LaCroix.
Ooh, okay. What do you call that? What would you call it?
Yeah, what is that?
Mexican yuppie.
Hollywood sunset. Mexican yuppie.
Oh, man. What's going on, dude?
I don't know, man. We've been hanging out all day.
Yeah, I know. How you been? Yeah, man. Just had a nice lunch.
We did. We had a nice lunch. We had some Thai food.
Yeah.
We're out doing showbiz stuff.
Showbiz stuff,
you
know, man.
We can't talk about too much.
Can't talk about it, but maybe one day we'll be able to talk
about it. It'd be nice to be able to talk about some showbiz stuff.
We'll see. We'll see.
Sorry. Adjusting the mic, everybody. There we go. All right. Well, I think that's good. Luke Perry died.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. That Luke Perry is a guy that... early... like when you could just be like, fuck, that's a good-looking dude. Mm-hmm. When you could finally separate the idea, like I could still think a guy's good looking,
mm-hmm.
but not be so self-conscious, like, oh, it means I'm gay because it's good looking.
Never understood that. Mm-hmm. Be secure.
But as a kid, because I was in junior high when 90210 was popular. That's your whole, like you're trying to find out so much about who you are in the world. You know?
Did you have questions early on about that?
No. I mean, I've
been straight since I was three.
Well, when you like never even thought, but I, like honestly, there was never a point of, but what would it be like to be attracted to that? It was never being attracted to it, but it was going, that's a good looking dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could see why the ladies like that guy.
I don't trust a guy who can't admit when another guy is handsome.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I have eyes. I'm not an idiot. That's a good looking dude. It doesn't mean I want to go kiss him. They're like,
doesn't we not want to go kissing boys all over the place?
I won't touch him or nothing. I ain't going to cuddle with him.
I'll wrestle him.
I mean, go out in the yard and punch each
other. Definitely join the wrestling team over. No, but he was like, I don't know why it affected me. Like, oh, Luke Perry, that guy was. He was like 52. He's only 10 years older than us.
Well, it's kind of ironic, too, that I haven't thought about Beverly Hills 90210 in years.
Yeah.
Until about a month ago, I guess they put it on Hulu. Either Hulu or Amazon.
And they're redoing it. They're going to redo it with the original cast.
But girlfriend Katie, has just been binging like crazy.
Yeah.
And it was just weird because that's one of those shows, obviously was a big hit back in the day, but I never noticed it in reruns or syndication or anything. It just disappeared and then just showed up recently.
Yeah, I think that stuff, like comedy is easy to syndicate. You know, if it's easy comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be insulting to... some shows are in syndication, but you could put on a King of Queens and that'll be fine in the background.
Yeah.
But I like the OC.
Yeah. I never got into that.
So that was right when I moved to California and it was about California and
really?
I didn't have cable. I just had like a tube TV with six channels and one of those would play that. It's teen dramas, man.
Yeah. Man, speaking of 90210, I even when it was currently on, when did that start? Like 90, 91? So we would have been...
I thought about it. I thought I was in junior high.
Yeah, I think, yeah. But obviously now I can look at it and kind of pick it apart. But even in the moment back then, I was like, why does the blonde-headed guy look like he's 35?
There was some discrepancies.
Ian Ziering? Is
that yeah. There was always some discrepancies.
And then who's the girl? Andrea Zucker? She was the girl who was Katie told me because she'd been watching it. She was literally 29 when they filmed that.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, she had like curly hair or something.
Yeah, the glasses. Like kind of the nerdy girl, and I think she gets pregnant and has a kid.
Yeah, I saw her in something else at the same time where she was like a doctor. I'm like, are you a teenager in this?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
But yeah, odd but casting
like,
for some
But like when you could see the boy bands come around and you had your, you know, your Justin Timberlakes. Well, yeah, okay, he's the hunk. And like some of these other guys, I don't know what weight you're pulling in the group.
Yeah.
Like, are you the dancer? What are you doing? Ugh. You know, some of it. So you look back, they collected. I mean, did you have to have five? You could have cut one of these ugly ones. So, like, there's always one guy that just looks like a – there's always one guy in a boy band that looks like a valet you could get weed from.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you this. The boy
That's
bands.
A specific look that I'm thinking of in my head, but – The, one guy looks like he'll park your car and be like, man, I can leave something in there if you need to. You need me to.
The classic boy bands like, what was it, NSYNC, and then who was it, Backstreet Boys. Mm-hmm. Their audience was all female and gay dudes, correct? Any straight guys listen, like really into that shit? Does that make me sound like an idiot? But like, I just couldn't imagine.
No, it wasn't the demographic, you know? I bet... There was probably, but again, think about the age that you were when that music was popular, and if you were just going to go to your friends, like, no, I think they got some hits. It wasn't, it was like Bad Religion for a 15-year-old boy, like, I'm angry, and the government's probably bad or something. Like, that did not appeal to a large swath of 15-year-old girls who want to go to the mall or do whatever 15-year-old girls do. It's all,
No, I'm saying, yeah, obviously it's for that demographic, but... I just wonder if any dudes, like just regular dudes, like, yeah, I like it.
Well, then, especially with that accent.
I believe they're pretty good.
I don't think they're alive anymore.
They can dance. I just never understood. Like, what are they doing? Learn, play guitar.
I bet, you know what it is? I bet in Florida, where there's, that was like, they all started in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so I bet there was like, there was a separation between, you know, kids with maybe like... attempted Disney kids.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the big thing? The Mickey Mouse Club launch. Yeah. I bet there was a lot of like parents who were upset with their kids because they couldn't get them into Mickey Mouse Club and then pushed them into that boy band life. Hmm. I'm going to guess absent fathers, raised by mom, so it's not pushing you into football, but you could sing and dance and we're going to make some money off you. Hmm.
You know what? You know what else old Luke Perry brought back into the zeitgeist 25, 30 years ago?
What's that?
If I remember correctly, he and what was the other guy's Brandon, Jason Priestley. They were the first.
Both those. Priestley was a real.
They were the first ones to bring back.
Chops.
The chops.
They
the
all like, they had like a James Dean look. Priestley was the real. That was. They were both good looking. Mm-hmm.
But Luke Perry was much better looking.
I think now because I couldn't remember Priestley. I'm going.
Priestley, he was more. I mean, I guess he was handsome, but he was more of like the.
Oh, he had the blue eyes.
The boy next door, the kind of the goody two shoes, where Luke was the bad boy who drove the motorcycle.
Oh, was he the bad boy?
Didn't know his dad. And,
I didn't see the show.
Oh,
I didn't
you
know
never watched it?
No, I didn't watch the show.
I watched it back in the day.
I'm thinking about like seeing posters and being angry at the girls. Like, you like crap.
But yeah, they were both ones. That's the first time I ever remember like sideburns coming back. Like, past the 70s.
That's true. They had good hair. They had good hair.
Yeah, they had the same weird updo.
Him and then the dude from Prodigy died too.
Yeah. Yeah, Prodigy.
A lot of people from, a lot of like only a few years older than us, parallel to our living.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted today. They showed that guy's picture. Who was it? Our buddy Chris Pierce, I think.
Yeah.
I think he posted that guy's picture. And it said, rest in peace, Spencer from Spencer's Gifts.
Oh,
that is a good one.
That is real good. That is real, real good.
Spencer's Gifts. Because, yeah, he was like full on that guy. What was his name? His name, we should have knew his name. Keith somebody.
Keith Flint. Flint, was it? Yeah.
But, yeah, he had like the double mohawk and the crazy eyes.
I was thinking about how much I liked that Stereo MC song. Remember that one?
Gotta get yourself connected.
Remember that, like, kind of taper off of the English? That was a good song. Yeah. If you haven't heard it in a while,
yeah,
look it up.
That was solid.
It's a good just around the house tune.
Stereo MCs, man, mm-hmm. have not even thought of that in years.
It's got like that, it's got a creeper vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you listen to it with the lights off, it's got a little, like you're creeping, like old cat burglar pounce. I don't know, I'm doing it, but.
What song, I was watching Sopranos, of course, the other day, and at the Bing, they were blasting that song. Any time to get down on your motherfucking knees.
There was that. Was it Chemical Brothers?
It might have been.
So that like all that kind of like not. It wasn't DJ music, and yeah. I don't know.
Kind of a precursor to that.
Yeah.
All like English dance music.
I liked some of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Fatboy Slim was that.
Yeah,
one?
Yeah. It was all real catchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway,
Prodigy, they had. What were their hits? Firestarter.
Yeah, that was a scary song.
Didn't they have one called Smack My Bitch Up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well today.
Yeah. It didn't go over well then. I remember MTV's like, we're going to air the video at midnight. And it was a first-person video of this person acting like a real piece of shit and being at a strip club and everything. But then in the end, they look in a mirror and it was a lady the whole time. And I was like, uh-oh, you got flip-flopped. You got flopped on. Y'all got flopped on.
Oh man, what else going on, buddy? You were out of town this week.
I was in Michigan.
Yeah, how was that? Real
good times.
That's weird because I'm in Michigan right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're doing a time travel episode. Time travel's real. It's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I was there thanks to the person who brought me homemade chili.
What?
Yeah, somebody brought me some vegetarian chili. Somebody brought me a CD.
Did you eat it?
I did not get the. I left it in the fridge in the green room.
Okay.
And I apologize for that. I wish you hadn't asked.
Didn't mean
me that.
To put you on the spot.
I was going to let it slide, but then I can't lie, and I don't want to lie, and I didn't eat it. You know what? All right. I ate the cookies.
Uh huh.
The Bigfoot cookies. We both had the Bigfoot cookies. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm usually all right with stuff. Yeah. But then in the same shows this weekend, there was a woman who... I stayed in the green room. I didn't come out this weekend. I was, you know, not feeling like I could do the dance so much, as we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. Not on you kind folks for coming to the show. But there's a gal who, yeah, that's the coaster keeps sticking to the drinks. You can just put it. This thing is made out of a coaster. This stool. we're in the back bedroom. We're in the snore lab. Yeah. We're in the sleep apnea capsule right now. But a woman. The manager came back. It's like, there's a woman out there. He's like, there's a couple out there that wants to thank you because they saw you in Detroit, and after your show in Detroit, they had a threesome. I'm like, I don't think I'm really, you know, sowing the seeds of love at my show. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I'm, you know, really putting that vibe out. But I'm glad it happened for you.
Who know that information?
They were waiting after the show and told the manager or the guy who was kind of coordinating things there, crowd control guy, told him the story like, oh, we had a threesome after the show that was someone we met there and we want to thank Kyle. I'm like, that's good. Hey, I'm glad.
They want to thank Kyle.
Well,
they want to ride that unicorn.
Yeah, I'm not saddled up for that type of ride, man. I'm not...
You ever been approached with that? You ever been invited into
a
tres or a cuatro?
No.
I don't understand that.
Have you?
No. No, I think I may have been invited, but no, I've never partook.
No.
I was telling you a story off air. Somebody who told me about just four people, Just where does everybody stand? I don't understand the logistics of it.
I feel
like you hear these.
Maybe it's like you got a bench, you know. Maybe it's like you got one player on the bench.
Yeah, but then you hear like, I don't want to get too graphic, but you hear like specific sex acts that involve more things, and there are spaces for it. And like, where? I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's a real.
Where's everybody standing?
It's a real musical dicks.
Oh, but yeah, I had had a friend just mention that real nonchalantly the other day.
Yeah.
That he was part of a foursome. And it was kind of a three-on-one situation.
Yeah. Three kings and a queen.
Ah.
Well, that's what we're saying. Like, if that's the, if that's, you know, sexual fluidity, why, like, getting, everybody's getting hung up on their labels. What if it comes down to just consenting adults having a good time? Like I was saying, nobody's trying to join a team. You're just playing a pickup game.
Huh.
You know, I might not swing that way, but more power to you if you do. I can't get upset about it.
Yeah, no, I'm not upset about it. I'm just
be safe, be nice to others.
Yeah.
As long as that's the case.
Curious is the wrong word. I'm just curious.
On paper curious, yeah. Not in real life curious. Yeah.
No, I'm a real meat and potatoes kind of dude. I'm glad. I was talking to Katie the other day. And not to shame anybody that's any different, but I'm glad that I'm uncomplicated, put it that way.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine just, like, you need some real Yahoo shit to get what you need.
Point the car forward down the road.
Yeah. Just put her in D. Put her in drive.
Put her in D. I think you need to put D in her.
Uh-huh.
Come on. There's the word play.
That's pretty good.
We're comedians.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, so anyway, I don't know if you finished that story.
What was my story? Jumped in about it.
Yeah,
oh, no, and then and then she wanted to smell me real bad. And then she just kept telling the guy, will Kyle be coming out because she wanted to smell me.
What does that mean?
And that was like, that's when I was like, honestly, like, what's the difference between somebody saying, you know what, I want to shake your hand. Versus, you know what? I want to smell you. It's out of the ordinary. It caught me off guard. But it's less intrusive than somebody wanting to shake your hand or give you a hug.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know, but I don't fancy myself aromatic fella. You know,
you just have a line about I look like I smell.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I smell like I look.
Yeah, yeah. You can guess. I was joking about it on stage afterwards. You want to know how I smell? Go put your head in a microwave of a dorm room. You'll figure it out real quick.
Like the ghost of a thousand burritos.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Which also sounded like some real low rent Sylvia Plath send off too. It won't work because you got to close the door to get it started. I can't even kill myself. How am I supposed to be a poet?
What's the weirdest interaction you've ever had after a show from an audience member or a fan? Like that's got to be towards the top.
I had one guy who I met again, and he kind of was like laughing about it. But he was like in a suit at this bar I was playing at, and he's like, "I'm sorry, I missed the show. I had to go to a funeral for my friend who was murdered." I was like, "Oh, sorry, man." And then we're kind of at the bar drinking. He's like, "You know what? I want to give you something." And he gave me a knife. And as he gives me the knife, he's like, "It's always good to have another set of prints on a weapon." I was like, "I'm going to wipe this off and put it down the sewer." And he's like, "Well, give it back then. It's a good knife." Because I didn't know if he was like kidding around, but he's already.
It's a weird thing to say.
And then I met him the next time I played there, and he was like just a dude in a Hawaiian shirt, and he was putting vodka in. He had one of those White Claw. It's like a fucking LaCroix, but boozy.
Uh-huh.
And it's already like 6% can, and he was spiking it with vodka.
Huh.
So he was just as faded again. But wow. This guy could have just been filled with stories, but I'm trying to think. There's plenty of interactions. Dave Ross and I were playing in Mobile, Alabama once, and they're like, "You want to go to Scary Pier?" Oh, yeah, Scary Pier. Sure, it's like it's in the middle of the night and we'll just be surrounded by alligators on this pier, but it'll be cool as long as we're on the pier. I'm like, "Yeah, we'll go do this." And the water was all receded. The pier was just overground. And then it was just one girl trying to put Coke up her butt.
Coca-Cola?
I mean, honestly, anything up your butt.
She's trying to butt chug cocaine?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Just put it on your finger and then cram it in your butt. That's when I was like, you could just do that another way.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, why that way?
Or at home alone.
Yeah, like just watching, like unless it was like a masterful move of like, "All right, well, I gotta be polite and offer it around," everybody's gonna be like, "No way."
Huh.
no way do I want your... But, granted, nobody knows how I got smuggled in the country in the first place. It's probably like the third time that coke's been in a butt. this is the last time, as you know, instead of its final destination.
Yeah.
Well, what about you?
It's some weird... Nothing just real blatant, but a lot of just, you know, double speak, a lot of suggestion, a lot of like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
I mean, I told you the story about the time I was at this couple's house and the lady was sitting right next to me and the cat was sitting on my lap and the dude was sitting in a chair, just kind of like his, like his jack chair. I don't know, but just kind of, we're all smoking pot and the wife's sitting next to me and he's sitting in the chair. And then the cat's in my lap, and she's sitting right next to me, and she just keeps stroking this cat, like for 10 minutes, like real seductively stroking this cat. The cat happens to be sitting right on my crotch.
Like she's trying to pet through the cat?
Yeah, yeah.
I know these people.
After about 10 minutes, I was like, I almost, like right before she stopped, I almost was at the point like, hey, what's going on? This is weird. And he's just leering like, yeah, we do this a lot. Yeah.
Make a move.
Okay, okay.
Pick up the gun.
Go ahead and get rid of the cat. And it was just like, ugh.
Well, I've heard some stories. I've heard some stories down that.
Yeah, I ain't the only one.
With the who we're talking.
Ugh. A little help?
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
I don't know. Anything scary happen? Did we talk about Abducted in Plain Sight last time?
No, I don't think you had finished it.
Oh, I did.
No, yeah, so we haven't talked about that.
But you saw it.
Yes, I'm the one that told you to watch it.
Fuck that fucking family.
Is that the dumbest fucking family? They should. The parents should be in jail for neglect.
All right, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So just, you know, just unbelievable. Click forward.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, as bad as, like, the creep that was predating upon... Preying upon.
Uh-huh.
Predating. You know, being a predator on the chick. What's the verb? The family should be in prison too.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the fact that they were just trying to save their own face and that, or just, are you that dumb or naive? That's on the same level as not knowing to feed your kid vitamins. Or, you know, like food with vitamins. Like the vegan family whose kid almost died because they were going on their own. They ignored their doctor. Like, no, we'll just feed our kid this weird, strained down vegan diet. And that's not a slight against vegan. Like they did some weird bullshit hippie thing for a kid and didn't, like the kid almost died. Mm-hmm. The way these parents handled what was going on with their daughter. Like, I put it on par with that. Like, you put your kid in danger from your own stupidity.
Well, it's my theory of you an idiot or you an asshole. Which one?
Yeah.
Because it's one or the other. You tell me. Either you're a fucking idiot and you can't be trusted with a kid.
Well, that's some of it.
Or you're complicit. You knew what was going on.
Even I want to meet how charming this guy was.
Yeah, he must have been a charming motherfucker.
Got a HJ out of the dad.
The dad who's just like somebody hit him up for $20 when he didn't quite have it. Like, hey, okay.
You know, I just got to get rid of this boner. I mean, fucking do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Just casually.
What's going on with the Latter-day Saints? Like, I heard that they'll shovel your driveway when it snows out, and that's very friendly. But I didn't know when to, like, how am I going to get rid of this hard-on?
Hey, neighbor.
Hey, fella.
Oh my God.
Can you spare a five? It's not what I'm talking about.
But yeah, and the way he painted that picture is just like, you know, he parked the car and he had an erection and it's like, hey, you
I
know,
serviced
my wife.
Him. I serviced this man.
I was like, fucking
that's
idiot.
The most Mormon thing.
Yeah.
The most conflicting Mormon thing you could do is that's how neighborly you are. I got a.
And how awful must have that hand job been?
Want to help me get this tree stump out of my yard?
Just a reluctant.
Yeah, true. Yeah, how
fucking man grip HJ.
Yeah,
calluses.
Yeah, you know what? let me get a hand job out of a grown man who's only touched his own dick.
Oh,
and a cross.
Yeah.
You never put yourself in the position of thinking about that. You know your angle.
Yeah. So odds are the jobber would have had to use his left hand. That's probably not a strong hand.
The jobber.
Yeah.
Who's the employer and who's the employee?
The jobbee and the jobber.
So the employer is the one given.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, they're the one doing the work. They'd be the employee. The boss is the one with his hands behind his head going, get to work.
But he was in the passenger seat, so he probably, you know, used his left hand. That can't be good.
That dog just barked. Oh, fucking Rennie.
But yeah, so anyway, so you want to give the brief broad strokes
of the show?
Yeah. So there's these two families.
Sorry if you hear a dog.
Yeah. When was this set? This is in the early to mid 70s, something like that?
I think 70. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's two families. They're in Utah. They're both LDS?
Neighbors, yeah. Neighbors, Latter-day Saints, and then...
And then the one father is just enamored with the other family's 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, this family had three daughters. And the dad from the other family, it was just like, it was just all about this. I forget how old she was. But
she was young, 10, 11, 12, something like that.
But yeah, it was just all about it. And like would come up with these excuses. But this family, that's the thing. Like this guy's a predator. This guy is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this guy was coming over and be like, oh, and like the two girls shared a room in the basement. Like, wouldn't you want some privacy?
Yeah.
I'll build a wall for you guys.
Yeah.
The neighbor built a wall to separate the girls' bedroom. And the parents are like, sure, what a nice guy.
Yeah.
Thanks for building this wall. So you could, you just want to hang out with my daughter all the time. One daughter, one of my daughters. Mm-hmm. You, a grown man, want mm-hmm. to choose one of my daughters mm-hmm. to hang out with. And then the first kidnapped her once
mm-hmm.
and takes her to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Tries to marry her.
Tries to marry her in Mexico
because
it was like she was 15 or something.
Oh, she's younger than that.
Oh, I thought like the legal age was 15 or whatever.
She's younger than that.
But kidnaps her and takes her in an RV to Mexico.
Yeah.
And the parents find her. And then what if, so she flies back.
I don't remember all the details. It's been about a month since I've seen it. But after that, everybody comes back.
Yeah.
Dude comes back. Hey, let's all try to be understanding, blah, blah, blah. There's some.
The guy's married, too. The kidnapper's married.
And with his own kids, too.
Yeah.
And I think he gets something. He gets, you know, probation or a plea deal or something. But point being, everybody knows this has already happened. So cut to moving forward. Now, part of his therapy.
But first off, they're like going to press charges. And you have a detective who's like, all right, great. Here we go. Here's everything. And then kidnapper is like, oh, I don't think you should press charges. No, was that when he told him not to do it because he had the HJ and was going to blackmail him?
Yes, yes.
And had he already seduced the wife, too?
I don't remember. I'm not sure the exact timeline.
Because at some point, he got an HJ out of the dad and then also seduced the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are fucking weak people.
Yeah.
You are weak. And I don't care how much forgiveness your religion allows. Mm-hmm. You should be strong enough to not fall for this shit in the first place.
Yeah.
Forget about the lengths, you know, the capacity for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. What about the capacity for getting your head out of your ass and not being a fucking louse?
So after all this has happened, the first whatever, All cards are on the table. Everybody knows that this guy's a fucking perv. He tried to steal the daughter.
Did.
HJ, the dad, did God knows what to the mom. So now, part of his therapy is four nights a week, he would go down, he would visit their house.
Told the parents, part of my therapy.
This is what I need.
Yeah.
I need y'all to help me out with this.
I gotta go sleep in your daughter's bed.
I gotta go lay down in your daughter's bed for like an hour at a time.
I kidnapped once.
Yeah. About four nights a week, I think is what they said. And then they even were like, well, we didn't think it was a good idea, but it was part of his therapy.
Even at that point, if it was less about them being forgiven, but more about, well, he was going to blackmail us, you still put your own reputation ahead of the safety of your child.
Yeah. Yeah. They suck.
Yeah.
And that little girl, bless her heart, like, she seemed pretty well adjusted in that doc as a woman.
Yeah.
Like, she, no telling how much therapy or whatever she had to go through, but she seemed, you know,
because then he kidnapped her again.
Yeah. And then we're leaving out the whole his story, his angle that he convinced her, the predator story, how he lured the little girl.
Oh yeah, he would he would drug her and then play tapes that were allegedly from aliens saying she was part of a mission.
Yeah,
and the mission was that she had to marry the guy. And then I don't know what the ultimate goal of that was, but.
And I'm speaking out of school here because I don't know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
Well, that should be the name of the show.
But the aliens he was talking about, I think they were somehow affiliated with that religion. Do the Mormons, are there aliens involved in the origin story of the Mormons or the LDS?
No, you know what? I read that under the banner of heaven, and the best I get, they say it's much like jazz, it's a uniquely American creation. It's like Joseph Smith, who was just running all over, trying to marry as many wives as he could.
Yeah.
Finally settled in Utah and, I don't know, like found a bunch of plates that were buried. And the plates had all the wisdoms. It was kind of like what the tablets were.
Yeah.
So who had those? Moses?
Moses.
Yeah. Kind of like that. They don't have it, but I guess there's like all different kinds of heavens you can go to. It's a real heaven buffet. So
really?
Yeah, there's not one heaven. There's like a bunch of them you can go to.
I don't know why I thought there were aliens involved in that. Maybe I'm thinking of Scientology. I don't know. He convinced her, the little girl, that these two aliens have contacted me and something about we've got to have a child together. We got to. Oh, and then some of the details.
And she was totally brainwashed. She was also this whole time fighting her parents.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the details.
Like, I've seen spoiled kids, but never spoiled enough, like, whatever, I love them. All right, we'll let you kidnap her again.
Oh, man. Oh, and then some of the phone calls. They would have the audio tapes of the phone calls of the perp calling back to the household and speaking to the mom and speaking to the dad.
Yeah.
There was one where he's talking to the mom's like, well, I sure do miss her, and I love her, and you know, you tell her, I'm thinking about her, and one day we're going to be together. And the mom's just like, oh, okay.
Well, he killed himself right after he got convicted, finally.
Yeah.
Right, years later.
Yeah.
Now, the only one that got me more pissed off was Dear Zachary.
I don't know that one.
It'll ruin your day.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it about?
You know, another couple where this guy was kind of an aw shucks kind of putz, and fell for some lady that was real controlling, and they had a kid, and it was a custody battle over this kid. And,
wow.
And then it takes a hard left turn.
Mm.
And you're watching it like, oh, well, I need to watch Too Cute. I need to watch A Day of Too Cute wash this out of my mind.
Did you, and I'll ask this question carefully.
All right.
I'm not asking you if you were a victim of anything like that as a kid, but when you were a kid, did you have any in your peripheral? Did you hear of any stories of so and so's dad or so and so's uncle? Did you have any experience with that?
No, I mean, I grew up Catholic, and I guess this is what I just found out. So, we had one priest at our church that the whole rumor was that he had AIDS. He's a very gaunt, sickly looking fella, but it was also the 80s when the AIDS thing was going on, and then he was gone. And then I was talking to my buddy Bob. I guess he was at their church first. He was over to mine. And he's like, oh, yeah, they found out he had a sex dungeon in the city that he was luring kids down to. No. Yeah. Which I didn't hear that story about it. But again, I would like to read a newspaper article with that guy's name and where he was to confirm, mm-hmm. as opposed to a church is, you know, a haven for gossip like anywhere else of a close-knit community. So where do we have no, I remember hanging out with this kid down the street from my house, and then his older sister started accusing the stepdad of shit, and then the family got all broken up. And so that was weird. I didn't know. I remember my parents getting real pissed one time. Like, my sister and I would play by this at this park, like a block away from our house. Mm-hmm. There was like some guy there reading a book on a bench, and we were just little kids, and he was like, we'd like run by and laugh, and you know, he'd laugh and just, oh, fun guy. All right. Oh, it's an adult, but he's playing around. He's running. He would like pick us up and put us in the garbage can, like joking around and stuff. Mm-mm. And then we came home being like, yeah, this guy was fun. He would pick us up and put us in the garbage can and be silly. And they were just like, what? And then my dad went and took a walk down to see who was hanging out at the park. And
did
then
he?
I never saw that guy there ever again.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, but in my head, I'm like, no, this guy's just fun. Like, yeah. As a little kid, like, oh, this guy's just playing with us. He's like an adult, but he's playing with us.
Yeah. I had a similar thing. When I was about, I would say I was probably 7 or 8, we lived in this little neighborhood where we had just tons of kids around. I may have mentioned
I must say, too, incredibly fortunate that you hear all the stories of what comes out about stuff. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Just as a kid growing up anywhere, did I manage to avoid the perils of what kind of evil can exist out there.
I was probably 7 or 8. I lived in this neighborhood, tons of kids around. I was very lucky. I grew up in this neighborhood where just at any given day, I could have 5, 6, 7 idiot kids like me to play around with. So, and we lived in a cul-de-sac, and all the kids would play in this cul-de-sac. We'd play soccer and baseball and, you know, punch each other and stuff and have a good time. But we had this garbage man that would come around once or twice a week in a big, like, Sanford and Son style homemade side bodies, modified shitty pickup truck. And he'd pick up all the garbage. And he was probably 55, 60 years old. And he was real friendly. And he always had a couple of, like, really young boy helpers, like, older than us, but still very young. I was 7, 8, 9. 13, 14-year-old boys hanging off the back of the truck that would help him and stuff. But he would always, probably twice a week, I guess he'd come. But every time, he would take like 5 or 10 minutes out of his work day and just hang out with the kids. And he'd give us old junk. Oh, here's an old bicycle tire. And he'd talk to us, and he'd kick the soccer ball around. And it's like a 55, 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
And we just thought, oh, man, I forgot whatever his name is. Nicest guy. And my dad one day was looking out the window, and he told my mom, he goes, something ain't right here. What's this old man doing talking to all these kids? And like, and then like the next day he had a talk with us, like, hey, I know y'all like Mr. Smith or whatever his name is, but don't talk to him too much. You know, you don't have to go running into the house every time he comes by, but don't get in his truck. Don't do anything. And we didn't understand. Like, what's your problem, Dad? He's a nice guy. Sure enough, like a month later, front page of the local paper. Local garbage man indicted on multiple counts of pedophilia. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. What are you doing? What are you doing talking? Leave kids alone.
But like, on the defense of that, like, I had an older neighbor that was fine, and he would be like, I'm going to Dog and Suds, which is like the drive-in kind of like a Sonic Burger, but independently owned. My parents were like, yeah, go check the Dog and Suds. And it was just... It was Chuck, and there was nothing.
Been vetted by your parents.
Yeah, it was a neighbor, and there was nothing there. Like,
but anytime you see an adult, like the adult who coaches Little League but doesn't have a kid, what's he doing?
But they're the. What about teachers?
Well, that's different. That's a profession. They're earning a living. But when you're volunteering your time to, hey, I'm gonna go coach Little League soccer.
Because I mean, I don't want to think entirely negative about that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry, of course, and precautionary thing. But I still think there are people like, you know, like maybe, you know what, I can't have kids. I don't want kids or anything. If I'm in a situation where there's a lot of kids and it's either, you know, be annoyed at it or like, all right, what, all the kids are playing a game? All right, let's play the game, kids. Not like I'm alone at a park by myself, but like we're at a party and everybody's kids are there.
Yeah,
I'm like,
all
right, I'm going to have fun. Yeah. With the kids are cool. I'm going to hang out and have a good time.
But
you know, I, yeah, it, My dad always felt that way about Mr. Rogers.
Really?
He didn't have kids,
that's
right?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And that was my dad, like, there's something, something weird about this guy. Which all the documentaries that he's just the most wholesome guy that wanted the best for everybody. That's how I want to think about people. Yeah. But my dad was like, look, this guy's weird.
I mean, you have to question people's motives.
He doesn't have kids, but he'd make the kids show. And he's, I don't know.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but man, so fortunate that I avoided that. I think that was like, I don't know why. I was never an altar boy, so I didn't hear anything about my church being involved with any of that stuff. Or if it went down with any of my friends, like they, you know, it was nobody talked about it. You're embarrassed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, you want to be silly? Be silly about talking about lost childhoods, lost of innocence? Not us. This is why we get to talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Because the emotional trauma skipped over us.
Yep.
And we're the rare lucky few.
I'm fine.
Ghosts are real. I like riding bikes. Let's go tell jokes.
You seen any good movies lately?
No.
You watch anything?
No.
No.
Well, I thought you were setting me up. Like, did I mention that I saw a movie?
No. I'm just making.
Do we have a topic this week?
I got a topic. I'm leading
into
it. We're
40 minutes in.
I watched a movie last night.
We're going two-parter on this one. We'll tell you the topic, and that'll be next week's episode. Yeah.
Are we really 40 minutes in?
Yeah, man. We've been bullshitting for a minute.
Really? Okay. Man, time flies when there's Jack Daniels.
We have talked about nothing.
I've talked about this. I've seen this movie before, and I talked about it when I saw it, but I watched it again last night.
So you're going to talk about a movie that you already talked about because you watched it again.
Y'all listen up. We're going to rehash it.
You ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Oh, speaking of which.
Oh, Jesus.
Speaking of which, what was his buddy's name?
Cameron.
Cameron, and what's the actor's name? Anthony somebody?
I forget his name.
Saw him in Los Feliz 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Yep, right there at my old Chinese spot, right there at Los Feliz. Or at,
he was eating at the Chinese place?
Hillhurst and Franklin. I didn't see him eating there, but he was walking right in front of there on the sidewalk.
And I was like, don't tell me. I hope he's doing better.
Crossed right in front of me, and I was like, oh, shit, that's Cameron.
Yeah, he's been in a few things.
Yeah. He was in something recently where he played... I think he played a pedophile. Anyway, watching a movie last night, movie I've already seen, but it made me want to get back and revisit this topic. I watched Ex Machina. Have you seen that?
No.
Dude, you need to see that. Damn good movie.
Is that...
Ex Machina. It looks like Ex Machina, but I think the
pronunciation is... No, I know what it is.
I know. One of my favorite actors, Oscar Isaac. I like that dude. He was in Inside Llewyn Davis. You see that Coen Brothers movie?
I did.
Yeah, he was the main character in that.
Oh, was he?
And I always thought, before I really knew who Oscar Isaac was, I would see that guy in roles and think that he was this other actor, this like character actor who was like a teenager. Do you ever see Slums of Beverly Hills?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know
the middle-aged brother, the middle brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always
Oscar Isaac is like, oh, that guy cleaned up.
Yeah, that's like
the slimmed down.
The good-looking version of that dude.
Yeah, no offense to that guy.
Yeah.
But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that guy still pops up in a lot of stuff. But that's when I first started watching Oscar Isaac, I'm like, is that the guy from Slums of Beverly Hills? But anyway, Oscar Isaac, Ex Machina. Oscar Isaac plays kind of like an Elon Musk type. Well, his character invented and created Blue Book, which was the fictitious version of Google, basically. He invented the world's largest search engine. And I don't know, they don't say where this is set, but it may be Vancouver or something, but just lives like on just hundreds and hundreds of acres. Like it looks like the Pacific Northwest, just these mountains and all this greenery.
Okay.
Just this huge estate. And it's his house is like super high tech. Just imagine what Elon Musk house must be.
Every time
like.
I hear about a high tech house, it's always like, oh, shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah. And it's his house / research facility. Half of it's subterranean.
Oh, no.
Anyway, he has he owns this huge company. So he has some contest where like all the people that work for his company, he's looking for like the next brightest star coder, like the best tech guy. Mm. And this other guy, this blonde-headed guy, wins this award. He gets to go spend a week with this dude alone at his house. slash research facility.
You never talked about this movie to me.
Oh, really? I thought I had. But basically, the guy has invented a robot. And I forgot what – it's a female robot. I forgot what the character's name was.
It's a sexy robot?
She's pretty cute, yeah.
And who's making ugly robots?
Exactly.
You're going all the way to make a robot. You're making ugly robots.
But it's,
maybe that's your safety defense. I don't want nobody trying to fuck my robot, all right? This robot performs tasks that aren't fucking.
Yeah. But it's, I won't spoil it for you from there. But like,
what if you find out that some of these sex robots are actually good at other things? Like, we got to put uglier faces on them. Because otherwise, people are just going to try and fuck them. And then they won't be able to fix the cars.
Well, we're going to get to some of those. I got some updates on some robots. Anyway, it's about a robot. There's some twists and turns. I won't spoil it, but it's a great movie. You should watch it.
Okay.
And it just the concept of robots and the singularity. And we've talked about this before as a topic, but this is I think it's our first topic that we're going to revisit. So it's been a couple of years.
I mean, we've rehashed bullshit for a long time.
But I wanted to just kind of delve back into that. I'm just so intrigued by the concept of robots.
Delve away.
We've talked about the singularity. And to give you a refresher, the singularity, the Oxford Dictionary definition, is a hypothetical moment in time when artificial intelligence and other technologies have become so advanced that humanity undergoes a dramatic and irreversible change. So,
a very daunting concept.
Yeah. So basically, you know, in layman's terms, like when the robots take over.
That's
a scary thought. And recently, about a year and a half ago, 352 different AI experts, they published a report in the 2015 NIPS and ICML conference.
Oh, yeah.
They were surveyed, and based on the survey results, experts estimate that there's a 50% chance that they also use the term AGI, artificial general intelligence. That's basically another term for singularity. Mm. They say AGI will occur in 2060. And however, there is a difference of opinion based on geography. Asian respondents expect singularity to happen in 30 years, whereas North American
Asians gonna try more than
the North Americans surveyed expect it to be in 74 years.
What did you send me about Japan lifelike cat pet costumes?
Dude,
that's not even robotics. That's just weird.
That's creepy.
All right,
there's a company that will make a mask, a realistic life-size mask for you to wear, the human, that resembles your own cat.
Listen, we can safely say Japan does weirder shit on the whole.
Yeah. Why is
than
that?
Everyone else.
Is it because they're more advanced? Because they're smarter? They're ahead of the curve?
Yeah. Are they operating at an advanced level, and that's the pleasures or what would you call them eccentricities of a culture that's far past it, or is that the example of what not to do? They're saying they sell more adult diapers than baby diapers.
Why?
When I first heard that, I was confused too. I'm like, oh, they're getting into shit play.
Video games?
No, nobody's having kids. Their population is aging, but they're not replenishing it.
Oh, they're selling for,
I know.
For old
I, when
people.
I first heard that fact, too, I thought they were just like, oh, now Japan is into shit stuff, and that's why they wear diapers. But no, it's because their population is aging, but they're not having kids. And I like, is that – you're talking about the singularity. What happens when – this is what we did talk about before, but what happens when you can get every one of your pleasure zones satisfied from sitting in a chair through VR, and you can deliver me food. Fuck, you can feed me intravenously, but I can virtual taste whatever food I want to have. Mm. But yet you'll give me the nutrients and vitamins I need, but you can give me the flavor of what I want. I'm going to have sex with a VR thing, you know. You know, there's your fuck robot right there. Like, what happens when you don't have to leave your house for anything?
Yeah, we have talked about that before, and that could lead us in. We don't have time to get into it today, but that kind of falls under the umbrella of
got all the time in the world
of the living in a simulation.
I still have to get my head around that one.
We're going to have to dig into that one soon. But, like, what if we're living in a simulation and then whoever is controlling us with that in that simulation, what if we're their video game? They're just sitting in the chair, shitting in their diapers, eating their delivery food.
Well, I just read about a new – I like that Ryan Reynolds fella. Mm-hmm. I think he does a lot, makes a good choice.
He's a handsome dude.
He's a handsome guy? Uh-huh. Funny. Yeah. Got timing.
Yeah, he's got some chops.
But I heard he just signed on for some movie where he finds out – like he's like just works in a bank, but he finds out he's like one of the inconsequential characters of a video game.
Huh.
And so I don't know if it's based on a book or whatever, but like the idea that like you're playing a video game, you're the main character and you're gunfights and all this stuff, but you just see somebody in the town as you go through it. And he finds out he's that character in a game.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, interested to see how that's executed.
Hmm.
But what if that, I mean, and again, like what if that's what drives people bonk? That's what everybody's scared about. Like, oh, these video games are going to make people violent. Mm-hmm. It's going to give people all this. Like, that's. I think it's a stupid thing to say, but
has there been any studies on that? Is there any legitimacy to that?
I read another thing. I probably on Reddit somewhere, but then the same. Like, yeah, there's no link to violent behavior in video games.
Really?
It's like anything else. Mm-hmm. How many people are out there fucking throwing touchdowns because they watch football all the time?
Yeah.
No, they just watch football. They could observe it and make a disconnect between video games or what, even that shit. That's real people doing that shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching action movies all the time. And now I take that back. Like jumping building to building. It's like, well, I watch these parkour videos. I'm like, yeah, maybe they've seen too many Jason Bournes.
When I was a kid, I was influenced by them. I'd watch those action movies and I'd start training. I was always training to save the day.
What did you do to train?
A lot of shadow boxing.
You're shadow boxing right now?
A lot of kung fu.
Really?
Yeah. I was always training.
Self-disciplined?
Yeah.
Your own school?
I was always training, man.
Dave's foo?
Yeah, because I thought that like by some chance, there was just like, I just visioned like a couple of states away, just a warehouse full of like generic bad guys that knew about me. Like there is a boy in Woodstock, Georgia, who eats a lot of candy. Let's take him out.
Remember Ruskies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the idea that like Russians were always going to come on American soil,
dude. First time I saw fucking Red Dawn, I was like, I'm not prepared at all. I got a lot more training to do.
Red Dawn got me good and scared.
I would dig holes all the time. I'd bury shit in my backyard in case. Seriously, one time I took all the condiments out of my parents' fridge. I put it in an igloo cooler and I buried it in the backyard. What?
Give me. The scenario that you would need condiments but not food.
I thought maybe in the event of global catastrophe, mustard and ketchup might be used as currency. I don't know.
The food's gone. We're going to have to eat our dog, but don't worry. Dave hid some relish in the bushes.
Got some ketchup. Got some mayo. Yeah, I did. I did that more than once.
We gotta eat what's in the fish tank.
Uh-huh.
But thank God, Dave put some A1.
Yeah.
Dave hid some A1.
Quick, give me a shovel.
Under the flagstones out back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was prepared, dude.
Were you a fat kid?
No. I was chubby, but I, yeah.
I'm sorry to laugh. Oh,
no, that's fine.
Oh, there's little fat Dave.
Yeah, little chubby Dave.
Little fat Dave bearing some Smucker's Brothers in the yard.
I built forts.
Forts are normal.
No, but like with the purpose
fully
of
fully refrigerated.
Like, I'm going to live here. Yeah.
Full refrigeration.
I planted a bunch of apple seeds trying to grow an apple tree. And I was like, that takes care of my dinner.
I agree with all this. Mm-hmm. I'm still hung up on the condiments.
Mm-hmm.
No food.
No, just condiments. Well, cause I thought they'd last longer.
Did your parents ever ask?
Nah, they just let
them. They go, Dave buried all our condiments again.
Let him do his thing. I put them in a cooler so that the condiments themselves wouldn't get dirty.
So you buried their cooler
uh-huh.
and all their fixins.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't say that's normal.
Yeah, that's what you do, right?
No. Forts, yes. Absolutely. Forts, you bet your ass, Forts. Uh-huh. Understood that.
Yeah.
Hiding like a Star Crunch or something,
uh-huh.
like a snack.
Yeah,
you betcha. Yeah. Never just the toppings.
Mm-hmm. I think my logic was like,
This is what I'm getting at. What was your logic?
I'd keep it in there for like a few days or a week, and then I knew, like, all right, when I knew it was safe.
False alarm, guys.
When I knew it was a false alarm, the condiments wouldn't spoil, so I could take them, I could unearth them and put them back into the refrigerator.
We're going back down to code orange. Who needs mayo?
Yeah, man. Yeah, constantly digging holes, constantly practicing really bad kung fu.
Did you ever? They had like this whole series of spy toys that me and my sister got into, like that you could hear. Like we were just peeping toms with with accessories. That's it. My parents got us all this shit. Like we had walkie talkies. Uh-huh. We had the dish with the microphone in it that didn't work great.
Yeah,
but we would just sit out in front of people's houses at night, like we're spies.
Yeah.
What are we spying on? Strangers. We were just peeping toms.
Yeah.
Did
you ever have binoculars?
Oh, had all the stuff. Yeah. And, like, the neighbors would have to repeatedly, like, could you please tell your kids to not? Because our neighbors had, like, there was one big house in our neighborhood. Uh-huh. I don't think the house was necessarily that big, but it was on a hill, and they had, like, boulders that, like, led up to their patio, which I drive by now, and it's maybe 8 feet tall. But as a kid, you think you're rock climbing. You think you're Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible climbing Half Dome and shit. And we had all, we would just be there just every night, like we're doing surveillance.
That's awesome.
I remember playing with a laser tag just on private properties, not our private properties. Like I remember getting shot by one dude. He was up above me straddling two garages of just strangers' houses. Like, think about how much people get shot nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And we were running around properties just laser tagging.
Oh, man.
Having a blast. Ooh, we had a good area to be a child.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I was lucky.
I'm apologizing for clam. We got a new setup right now.
But yeah, I was always suspicious of people. I was suspicious of strangers. I remember first time I ever went to a Braves game. I was like 5 or 6. And for some reason, you know, it was like
first. No, I just need one plain hot dog. I buried all this stuff out behind third base. I'll be right back.
My dad took me and my brother to a Braves game in like 1983 when they were terrible. And it was one of the first times I remember the concept of like, oh, we're going into the city.
Yeah.
Going to the big city. And I don't think my parents were paranoid. They didn't, you know, indoctrinate me with, you know, fears of the big city. But I guess watching TV and all my training led me to be suspicious.
City, a lot of people, a lot of X factors.
And the night before, at 5 years old, I didn't carry a wallet very often. But but I had a wallet. Just
filled with American cheese slices.
Oh, that's good.
Anybody got some bread? I got the sandwich made. It's just in my wallet.
But because tomorrow I was going down to the big city to watch the ball game, I got my wallet and I took a little notebook, a little bitty spiral notepad, you know, a little 3x4 or whatever. And I took about 50 sheets of that. And on each sheet I wrote, "Nice try, jerk." And I wrote that like 50 times. And I took all 50 sheets and crammed them into my wallet. So if somebody stole my wallet.
Get a load of this kid's right ass cheek. He's got a grip.
Yeah. Joke's on you, thief. Yeah. On 50 different pieces of paper, I wrote, "Nice try, jerk."
You thought a guy with a black and white striped shirt and just a bandana with the eyes cut out was going to jump out of an alley.
Uh-huh.
You thought.
The fucking hamburger was going to rob
me. The Cookie Crisp bandito was coming after you.
I was just convinced. Well, we're going to the city. I'm probably going to get pickpocketed. So, here you go.
I love if you did get robbed and the guy opened the wallet in front of you and was like, "You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I never rob kids."
Yeah. I was wanting to get robbed. Because boy, did I have.
You were a maniac from day one.
Oh, I was crazy.
From day one, you were a fucking lunatic.
Just a little maniac, man. A little problem solver.
She's got a shirt that says, "I got a sweet tush. Try me. Come get a piece."
Yeah, I was ready, man. Ready. You ain't gonna pull that shit on me. 5-year-old Dave's gonna outsmart you with his wallet full of nothing.
Nice try, jerk. Mm-hmm. Oh, Yeah. That's the title of your life. That's the title of your whole existence.
Gotta be prepared, man.
That's even a better name for this podcast. You come up with two better names for this podcast already. This has been Nice Try Jerk with Kyle and Dave.
Yeah, I was a weird little kid, man. I was obsessed with wrestling. I loved wrestling back then, and my brother was a couple years older than me, still is, and
he hung on to the lead.
Yeah, yeah, and he didn't want nothing to do with it, and so I would always force him to wrestle, and I would get the wrestling magazines, and I would lay them out, and my whole childhood was spent trying to perfect and master the art of the figure four leg lock. And I never could quite figure it out, but I would get the magazines, I'd lay them out.
Because it took full participation of your opponent to make it work.
And I was like, my brother, like, give me your legs, come here. And he was like, no. And I'd like punch him and drag him into the center of the living room, and I'd try to get him in the leg lock. And it's like, hold on, give me your left leg. Okay, now I got to spin this way. Now bend your right knee. And I just never could figure it out.
Do you remember like when you first started listening to comedy and you didn't know what hack comedy was? So the first time you heard the bit about like, I took... You know, I'm black belt in Taekwondo, so I'll kick your ass as long as you stand perpendicular to me and hold your right arm
punch
out.
Punch me with your left arm.
Yeah, but the first time I heard that bit, I'm like, this guy's the best. Yeah. And then you hear him like, oh, this is what hack comedy is.
Yeah.
But that's where you have to like let an audience have that. Like, they don't know what hack comedy is. Yeah. It's the first time somebody might be seeing a joke, and it's pretty magical.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that is like Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he die?
No.
Oh, okay.
I still want to see like his half hour Comedy Central special, like from the early 90s, where he's like, here, well, I'll make a bird appear and put like a handkerchief over his hand and pull it off. But it's just his middle finger. That was the greatest thing I could ever see.
That was
the greatest bit. Yeah. Like, and it wasn't magic, but you thought it was going to be magic, but it's still a bird. I'm like, this guy needs to be on Mount Rushmore.
Good for him.
Well, hey, we didn't
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's talk about this on the next episode.
You want to save it for next week?
You know, which we'll record in a week or in 10 minutes.
Well, no, I do have a bunch of fun new information about the robots and the singularity. So
let's talk about robots next.
Guess we'll hang on to it.
Or we keep talking and do a half-assed chop it up.
Nah. Just,
all right, you know what's going to happen. Everybody listening knows what's going to happen. We're going to pick up next week. You know, on this cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a real dipshit cliffhanger where there's absolutely no buildup. Let's do a comic of the week. Well-deserved comic of the week.
We were talking about this lady, I think, on our Q&A bonus episode on the last one.
Were we talking about the whole Canadian...
No,
XM
somebody just
thing?
Asked us what are some comics that, you know, you guys are into that may not be household names yet. But yeah, I've done multiple shows with this gal. I'm sure you have too. I guess based out of right here in LA. I don't know where she's originally from.
She's from Toronto originally.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why we're talking about the Canadian thing.
Yeah.
And that was resolved.
Yeah.
That they sorted that XM radio dispute.
Yeah, XM
good
was
good for our Canadian.
Yeah.
Comedian.
XM Radio was
brethren
trying to
and sistren.
Take a bunch of royalty money from Canadian comics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they got that resolved. Anyway, Steph Tolliv. Steph Tolliv has a new album out called I'm Not Well. Tolliv is T-O-L-E-V.
So, Steph's in the line of Canadians coming here and taking our jobs where you watch them and you're like, you should have my job.
She's good, man.
Yeah.
Real funny. Just a lot of energy. A lot of weird energy.
She did, yeah.
Kind of got those crazy eyes.
Oh, she did her own show of just 50 First Steps where she had 50 comics do impersonations of her.
Yeah.
Which is just a ballsy, preposterous show.
Yeah.
And I was on it, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steph's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Very funny. New album just came out a couple weeks ago. I'm Not Well. You can get
I think
that.
It came out, Well, no, because this comes out in a couple
came out
March,
March 1st.
March 1st. Yeah. Oh, that was so long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, just solid as shit, man. One of those one of those comics that never phones it in either. I've done a lot of shows with her. Never, no matter how small the crowd, no matter, you know, how mundane the bar show looks, she just goes up there and rips it and does her thing. So hats out to Steph. Also has another album out that she put out a few years ago in 2016. Her first album, I guess that's her first album, I'm not sure. Hot and Hungry. Hot and Hungry.
It's her first one. She's taking your album title.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm Not Well is the new one. So, Comic of the Week, Steph Tolev, T-O-L-E-V. Check her out and spread the word. What you plug in there, dude?
Oh.
You got something.
What's today?
The 12th.
Oh, yeah, totally. How could I forget?
Yeah, yeah.
How could I forget? How does anybody do this smoothly? Act like they're not faking their dates.
I don't know, man.
It's the 12th?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to be in Madison, Wisconsin this weekend.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Yeah. Comedy on State, one of the best clubs in the freaking country. I'm starting my tour. You're on tour right now.
Yeah.
I'm starting mine. Madison, then Cleveland on the 18th, Grog Shop, then Go Bananas in Cincy, Morgantown, West Virginia at 123 Brewing, I think it's called.
That's cool.
And then our live show on the 22nd that's sold out. And then the show that they won't email us back about in New York on the 23rd, so it's probably not happening.
Probably
so
not
sorry,
happen.
New York.
Yeah,
Unless we inform you differently, ask the Brightest Young Things.
Yeah.
What happened to the Boogie Monster show?
Ask them why they won't return a fucking email. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to be so harsh, but it's the least you can do is correspond. What's today? The 12th?
It's the least you could do is correspond. That's coming from Dave Stone. Nice try, jerks. And the least you could do is correspond.
Nice try, jerks. Tonight I'm in Lapeer, Michigan at the Pix Theater. Tomorrow, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Blind Pig. 14th, I'm in Columbus, Ohio at the Walrus. 15th and 16th, Wiley's Comedy Club in Dayton, Ohio. And on the 21st, you can catch me in Baltimore at Joe Squared. So that's where I'll be. And then, like you said, 22nd, be reunited with you over at the old Club Cafe for the Burning Bridges Fest in Pittsburgh.
Live episode.
That should be good. Who we got on there? We got John Dick Winter is going to be a guest, Ramon Rivas.
Yeah.
And Mike Caruso. Am I pronouncing that right?
No, that's not his last name.
That's not his last name.
Look it up. Do him justice.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. I just know you as funny-ass Mike.
Mike Carraza.
Sorry, Mike.
Mike was a dude that was like always like was working for the festival in Montreal and was always like this like fun, ambitious dude. And then I did the Boise Festival, and he fucking crushed it. And it's so exciting. You see him like, all right, this guy's around. He's a nice guy. And he's like working for festivals. I'm like, oh, do comedy too. I was like, yeah, we all do comedy, buddy. Again, yeah. We're all doing it. And they just said, I'm like, Mike's fucking hilarious. Hell yeah, buddy.
And just a jolly dude.
Yeah.
Just
good energy.
Yeah.
There's going to be good energy on that show, I think.
So that's going to be fun. Yeah. So
yeah, we got good. Those are all good. Those are good, positive folks.
Thanks for Pittsburgh for not sleeping on your boys.
Never.
Sold that son of a bitch out.
On your boys.
Don't sleep on your boys. Yeah, man. Anything else? Any thank yous? Any you thank the Chili people?
Yeah, the Chili. Nice folks. Even a smelling lady. I'm just glad. I'm glad. You know. I'm sorry I didn't oblige your request. Understand that it's a bit. Caught me off guard.
Yeah.
And I didn't. You know. But other than that, it was a good time.
You can smell me anytime.
Yeah, go smell Dave.
Get you a whiff. Get you a whiff of that shit.
I can smell right now. If you got a strong enough nose, you can catch his whiff right now.
Yeah.
Smell you later, the Dave Stone tour.
Speaking of which. I'm pretty hygienic.
Is this a new episode?
No.
Just starting again?
I'm just going to tell you this story real quick.
All right.
I'm very hygienic because when you're a big fella.
All right, sell me on this.
That's the one thing you can't control. You know, can't be big and smelly. So I'm always.
Well, I've met some people who would challenge that idea.
Yeah. But Katie's a big fan of all the oatmeal, lavender, organic, homemade bullshit soap.
Yeah.
All the artisan blah, blah, blah. And it's fine, whatever. But I guess some of that's not as strong as it needs to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because the other day she said, I'm starting to smell like pork. I was like, I just showered. And she goes, I know. But
oh, I've had to take 2 showers to get a stink off.
Yeah.
Because I'll sit in it.
Well, see, I cook a lot. I cook like almost every day in our small apartment. So like when I'm cooking, you don't think about it, but then all those fumes get up in your skin and your hair and stuff. But she's like, honey, I'm not trying to be mean. And I know you shower all the time, but you kind of smell like pork. At first I was like, awesome.
Oh, I got ordered to shower because I was ruining whole rooms.
Mm.
I would leave a room and my scent. I would just leave a spirit.
Yeah,
spirit funk.
I think that's what I'm doing. But yeah, and I was like, well, I shower like all the time.
All right.
And I was like, well, it must be your little frou-frou-ass soap. So now I'm just going to have to start having dishwashing liquid in a grill brush like you're washing a fucking elephant. So, got to really scrub this. I got to have a fucking Silkwood shower.
Silkwood shower.
So, yeah, man.
All right. Well,
I'm going to try to start smelling better.
All right. That's how we're ending it. You're going to try and start smelling better?
Mm-hmm.
Tune in next week to see if Dave smells better at an all-new Boogie Monster.
Yeah, that's it.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.